What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 612th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
I am here. It's sunny outside. There's a Pokemon Go community day today, and I probably am not going to go outside for it because the 3DS online shuts down, and I have some things I need to finish up before then.
It is also repeat community day.
That too.
Bobby also here.
Hey, I didn't sleep as well as I should have this week, so Pokemon sleep not helping the way it's supposed to.
It's a game that inspires good habits.
I am hoping that this will help me sleep, and it is not doing it the way I thought it would. That's okay, though. I still like it.
Okay, we can't spend an hour on Pokemon sleep this week. But this was the second week of Raikou. Well, it sounds like, Bobby, you're still playing. We'll start with our normal Pokemon sleep. We have some other Pokemon news. Not any crazy breaking news this week, but just some new stuff getting posted. But Bobby, how was week two of Raikou / week three of I Think You Playing?
Yeah, so this is week three of me playing. It's fine. The only thing is last night I fell asleep on the couch while I was watching a movie or something. And so I woke up and it was 5 o'clock in the morning and I was like, oh no, I didn't actually like do the thing before 4 a.m. So I guess now like when I did, it recorded it as like Sunday, right? Yeah. And I didn't get anything recorded for Saturday. That was a bit of a bummer that you can't go back in, because you can't go back in and like, and say like, well, I actually fell asleep at this time. You can, but it's just to record it, right? It doesn't actually like, it wouldn't backtrack and be like, oh, well, now you're getting Saturday.
I don't think it backtracks. You can add sleep if you're on the premium, but I don't think you can adjust it.
You cannot add sleep you cannot add sleep prior to a recorded sleep session. It doesn't let
okay.
You.
Yeah.
They did that because people were, not me, but other people were time traveling.
Uh-huh, I'm sure.
Not me at all.
And Bobby, you have yet to find out the real cost of that happening, which is tomorrow you won't get a bonus biscuit.
Right, because I will go asleep before 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, hopefully. And that will be my second sleep of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And so then there won't be a bonus biscuit for that.
Yep.
There won't be a bonus biscuit, and you might mess up your energy consumption.
It's disappointing. Disappointed in this game now.
Let me tell you, because I did the same thing. My tax guy messaged me. Or no, I messaged them because I was like, oh, I have a question before I submit my taxes to you. And they were like, here's the answer to that. And I was like, okay, I should get it to you this weekend. And they were like, that's cutting it close. And I was like, fine, I will drop everything I am doing. I will get it done tonight. Which for my tax guy, I just have to like export all my... But the thing I have to do, well, he'll do it for me, but he charges per hour. It's just way easier for me to do it. I have to just get like all my expenses of like, what was this trip for? What did you buy at the Pokemon Center? Like that kind of stuff. So I was like organizing all of that. And I finished at 4 a.m. And then I looked at the clock because I wasn't looking at the clock and I was like, oh no, it's 4 a.m. And I like ran into my bedroom to like start the Pokeball Plus, but it was too late.
It was already 4 a.m.
It was already, yep. I needed to hit it at 3:59 because I was like, oh, I'm on track of getting done before 4, whatever. And so I hit it at like 4 a.m. And so it tracked Thursday instead of Wednesday. And then I got like a 98% sleep that day, but on Thursday. So that means when I went to bed to Thursday to Friday, it only goes up to 100. Fun fact. My next sleep session was only 2%.
Yeah.
And so if your Pokemon are already like low on energy, there's no way to get them more energy at that point without waiting the next day. You could give them pillows.
Yeah, you have the pillows.
The items you always say
have no purpose. That has a purpose.
The scam, though, they charge you for that.
Just build up a collection from all the free ones.
Yeah, I use my free pillows. But like, if you're truly a free-to-play player and you don't have like the pillows, or even if you're in Bobby's situation where they probably don't have like, I'm assuming Bobby doesn't have 14 pillows.
I have a lot of them, I think.
Really?
I didn't buy them or anything. They just give them to you.
Did you have any pillows at the start?
They do. Let me look. I haven't used any of them yet. That's the thing.
That's why you would use the pillows. But even, okay, so here's the thing too. Even if you're like 2% energy, you can't get away using a recovery because a recovery just doubles the 2. So all you're getting is 4 the next day. It's really bad.
Yeah.
I think the worst part wasn't even like missing the 4 a.m., even though that was like not encouraging good sleep habits because I was stressed that I missed my time. The worst part was like that was like 70 Ryko mains I probably missed out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now I'm like literally like 30 mains short before the store closes to get another incense. And I'm thinking, and the only options in the store is like a 25
or
like a 50.
Or a 50.
And the 50 is like 600 and the 25 I think was like 200 gems or something.
250. I was looking at them this morning.
So I went this whole event without buying any Ryko stuff. And now I think I have to buy one of them because I want another incense for the possibility of like the last Ryko sleep style that I'm missing.
Right.
Got
so
it.
Did you get a main? You got a main skill seed though, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the best item there.
I got one too.
Don't worry, you got main. Okay. So you're okay. Free to play Bobby, 3 weeks old. You caught a Ryko and you got the main skill seed without spending any
money. I caught 2 Ryko. I used the Master Biscuit, right, for the first one.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Right.
But I caught 2 Ryko. I got a main skill seed. I used another Ryko incense last night or this morning. And then I still have 200 Ryko main. And I haven't spent any diamonds on any of the bundles or anything like that. So that's all just from playing the game over the last 2 weeks. And I only got 2 Ryko main from friends over that 2 week period of time,
which was from me.
Wow.
One from you and one from Stuart from Slack. That's it.
When I missed that Wednesday and then it messed up my Thursday and then I like finally fixed it Friday, those like that like 72 hours I felt like I didn't get any from friends.
Okay, I guess it's multiple per friend, but I get at most 3 or 4 friends per night with Ryko main.
I would be very interested in what that spread is, because like again, 2 the entire 2 weeks. I got 2. By the way, I have 10 energy pillows, and that's I haven't done anything to go out of my way to get energy pillows.
I do think like there's like tasks at the beginning. It's been like 8 months, but it's like you probably like saw 10 bug Pokemon. Here's a pillow. Yes,
actually, I have one right now. You raised 10 Pokemon to a specified level. You studied 5 ground Pokemon. You studied 5 ghost type Pokemon. Or that's just what I got this morning, like right now. And for that, I got 3,900 Dream Shards, an Ice Stone, and 2 Poke Biscuits. And that was just like,
because I think there's like 2 guaranteed free Thunderstones at a certain point too.
I have a Leaf Stone that I got somewhere. I have no idea.
Yeah,
where
Leaf
Stone
is like one of the very first ones you get.
Okay. Yeah.
Hannah, did you get your main skill seed?
I did get my main skill seed, and I had a Ryko show up without an incense this morning.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was able to catch it. So
wow.
I got my second Ryko right before the end. I have almost enough main left to get the Thunderstone, which I was really kind of angling for because I would like to get it in the main shop instead of in the main shop. Spelled differently there.
Nice.
But I'm missing about 8 Ryko main. So we'll see if I go for the $1.
That pun. Really, really delayed this morning.
Yeah, so I may end up getting the $1 box or the cheapest of the boxes that I would only need to. Yeah,
200 diamond
that is ultimately more than $1, but I have some diamonds that I can combine with $1.
Yeah,
so I spent my free diamonds on the Dedenne box, which is like 1,500 back, and I worked my way back up to 1,000 free diamonds. This game is very generous with diamonds, but I don't know if I didn't want to spend it on Ryko, but
it's pretty.
I want one more incense
just in case.
I haven't spent anything yet. So I did spend money on the Master Biscuit, or not money, the points or whatever. Not, but I haven't spent any diamonds yet. So I have 2,300 diamonds right now.
Oh wow!
And then nice. I have like 6,000 sleep points or whatever. But I don't know. Like, I just haven't really looked into like, okay, what? Because I was thinking I was gonna spend diamonds on the Ryko bundles, like a Ryko bundle at the beginning of this event, thinking it was gonna be tougher to get one to show up, and that clearly has not been the case. So now I'm like, oh well, now I have all these diamonds that I didn't end up spending, and I just haven't looked at like what, you know, what to spend them on. So,
well, the news here is they announced that Entei and Suicune are coming. That, not that that's news, because they definitely announced that on Pokemon Day that all three were coming, but they yeah, they showed all three in the Pokemon Day.
Okay.
Because the initial thing was like Ryko sleeping in the room with the kid. Or not the kid, it was like an adult. And then at the end it shows all three of them, and then the like phone, and then it's like coming soon. And then like 2 days ago on Twitter, they were like, oh, Entei and Ryko are coming soon. I would assume that Suicune would be on the beach, and then Ryko would be on the volcano. Because that's... Okay. Water and fire. Taupe Hollow, gosh, not the volcano.
That I just unlocked that area this morning.
What do you think? I guess you haven't been there.
I haven't been there yet. Do I go there? Should I go there tomorrow?
You've only been on Greengrass, right?
Yeah, whatever the first island is, Cyan, I think, is the first one that they make you, like when you play the first week.
Greengrass is the first one. And then Cyan.
No, but the Cyan Beach.
Cyan Beach is the second one.
When I played the first week, I wasn't on Greengrass. Before the Ryko event, I wasn't on Greengrass.
Oh, okay.
I was playing some other place that they made you play. I didn't get to choose the first location when I started the game.
I think you were still on Greengrass. It was just not... The Ryko changed Greengrass a little bit. It looks a little different.
Oh, okay, so Greengrass is the first location that you like are forced to play on when you first play the game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then I don't know what I'm talking about. But
no, Greengrass changes. They'll like put holiday stuff there or spooky stuff.
Yeah, well,
they haven't done that to any other island yet.
There's like lightning and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's just green grass but with lightning.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I don't even know. Where do I go? Where do I go tomorrow? Like, I guess I'll
go to Taupe Hollow. It's a nightmare.
I would say go to Taupe Hollow. I hate Cyan Beach.
Is this the place where the Onyx is that everybody wants but no one can get?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You also get Steelix there, but that's like, you have
it
to be
has
like,
very good music.
Okay. I don't ever have my sound on except when I'm
fair.
Like, I will be watching a movie on TV and I'll have my AirPods in so I can listen to, I have kids and they're asleep and I don't want them to like hear what I'm listening to. If I'm listening to stuff, I want to make it louder. So I'll put AirPods in so I can just hear it that way. And then I'll go open up Pokemon Sleep for something and it will pause everything on my TV to be like, no, now you're playing Pokemon Sleep.
Pokemon
and
Sleep's that's when I hear audio the music. So weird.
It's like, whoa, okay.
Like this level of priority of like, it is our time now. You've opened this app.
Yep.
So that's when I hear the music.
I would be disappointed if they did Suicune and Entei on Greengrass, but I understand why they would do it. They haven't done a single event per a single island. They have done events where it's like this event can be on multiple islands and you get to choose. If it's a single targeted event, they force you to go to Greengrass, which makes sense because like, what if Suicune is on the beach and then somebody just started playing the day before? Mm-hmm. And now they don't have the beach, but they would have Greengrass. Like, I get it. But Suicune being water and the beach always having the water thing would make sense. There were some people that were like, oh, Suicune's going to be in Lapis. But, like, why would that make sense? Suicune doesn't have a secondary type. It's just water. Like,
yeah.
Maybe, like, thematically, it should
visually,
be
visually, thematically.
Visually, yeah, visually and thematically.
Is Lapis like a... What is Lapis?
Greengrass has random berries every week.
Okay.
Yep. But when you get to the other islands, they have forced berries. So so the beach will always have an Oran berry, and I can't remember the other two. But Oran is the water berry, so that's like the berry that Squirtle has. It's the berry that like Psyduck has. Because they're water Pokemon, because everything in this game is single type. And then when you get to Taupe Hollow, that's Rock, because Geodude's there. And I don't even remember the other ones. It's like Rock and something else. Anyway, but when you get to Lapis, Lapis is like the final island, the first new island they introduced since the game came out. Lapis is like, it's fighting, because I know like Stuffle is there, and then it's, is it Psychic?
Because Ralts is there, right? I know Ralts and...
You have to have specific teams for those islands. Whereas like Greengrass, you're changing your team based on like the berries that generate. Mm-hmm. It's just the one berry, the electric berry, was locked to Greengrass for the last 2 weeks. That's why people just did electric type Pokemon. There is no island with an electric type berry yet.
Got it.
That's why like Raikou's not good. Like it's been 2 weeks. Raikou's like Raikou. Not good to put on your team at this point.
We will see. I'm going to keep going with my all-electric team and see how it holds up when it's not during this event, because I really like my all-electric team that I've built for this event, and Raikou's on there. It would make sense, though, if they ended up doing another one of those events for Entei and Suicune individually, where for Suicune, they did both the beach and green grass.
Oh, where you could pick?
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah, that would be... I would have liked to not be on Greengrass again this week, since that...
You're like 3 weeks in this game, and you're like already sick of Greengrass?
Yeah. So I would have liked to be able to choose something else, and I guess I could have, but I still wanted to, you know, go with get the Raikou stuff and all that and do that stuff, so...
Yeah, I don't know. My hair is out of control today. I don't know where... Look, I went to a concert last night. My hair is not cooperating. I don't know where I'm gonna go. I guess I'm pretty close to finishing the beach, so maybe I just finish off the beach, so then if Suicune is on the beach, I'm at the 55% going in. Maybe I just do that, or I could try Taupe Hollow again and be angry for a full week.
Just turn on the music and you won't be angry as angry.
Be angry because I won't get the Onix.
So one thing that was interesting about this week was they started us all at Ultra 4, which we had talked about potentially happening last week. We said, like, we were saying it might happen. Has that happened before in the game, or is this the first time that they have done that?
This is the first time they've done that. This is the first time they've done anything like that, I think. I'm pretty sure there's never been a chance for anyone to start out at a higher level than base Pokeball 1.
Okay.
At any point.
We were all master rank something, right? And then it dropped us to Ultra 4.
Was Bobby even?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're
I was
master
rank
ranks? Okay.
2 or 3, maybe?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you were, let's just say you were Ultra 3 and the week started over, did they bump you to Ultra 4? I have no clue, because everyone I've talked to was master rank.
Yeah, that's the thing. If even Bobby, who started out the week before, was able to get to master rank in that first week of this event.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't know. It made it seem like it was going to be Ultra 4 was going to be the lowest. Maybe it was something I saw online or talking to someone, but it seemed like that was where they were starting everybody, was Ultra 4. But I don't know. I don't know if I have to find someone who didn't get to Ultra 4 the week before.
Or maybe didn't play, but then picked it up the second week.
Mm-hmm.
Last question before we move on. Bobby, do you regret using your Master Ball?
No. I have not come across anything else that I feel like I would want to use it on at this point. And I now have plenty of sleep points to get another one since it's April now. So
it's
fine. I'm happy with the experience of using a Master Ball on a Raikou, because that just feels nostalgic. I've done that before.
No shade to anyone, but the amount of players I know that use their Master Ball on a shiny Pokemon is very high. And I think a lot of those people were very bummed to find out that you just needed to use just a Pokeball and it would have caught. So they probably regret using their Master Ball.
In Pokemon Sleep?
Yeah.
People figured that out real quick, though. All right.
All the time. Like, I know 5 people in the Slack that once they found out that you could just use a Pokeball, they were all like, I wasted my Master Ball.
Yeah, I think because I knew that, and I wouldn't have if it wasn't for talking to both of you, but because I knew that, that would be the only other thing that I would really at this point was, you know, was thinking about that I would want to use something like a Master Ball on. And so when it was revealed to me that you didn't need to, then I thought, okay, I'll just use it on Raikou.
I wonder with like Suicune and Entei, like for Raikou, we got extra lucky, I guess, because they gave us a free incense and right. they gave us two free biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even we all said, like, we all got main skill seed, we all got two Raikous. I probably could have got a third Raikou pretty easily if I didn't miss a day, you know. I think still just as easy to get Suicune and Entei. Again, like an incense and two biscuits is like what, like at least 250 main.
Yeah, well, the second week they made the incense, they gave us some incense and biscuits that were a little bit cheaper. So
yeah, it was like one incense and two biscuits were slightly cheaper.
Yeah, I think you could get one incense and two biscuits for 170 main the second week. It was 50 for two.
Yeah.
50 for each biscuit and 70 for an incense. Yeah, I mean, and if you're like this morning when I woke up and my Raikou that showed up was hungry, but I didn't have any Raikou biscuits at the moment. Like, and I was like, oh, do I want to go in and spend? I already have two Raikou, and I was just like, you know what? Never mind. Like, I'm good. We're good. Like, I'm done with this Raikou event now. Like, move on to the next thing.
None of my Raikous were hungry ever.
Dad, I'm sorry that you had well fed Raikou.
Yeah. This was just announced before we started recording. Pokemon Worlds finally has a date. I think the real question is, why did it take them so long?
Was EUIC the last big internationals? Have the others all happened at this point?
No, the EUIC or EUIC just happened, and then yeah. NAIC is
right. NAIC is in July or August. Yeah,
June,
probably.
June.
It's in June because
no, June.
The week after Sendai, and it's the week before Madrid. So it's Sendai. Got it. NAIC Madrid.
And it's in Ohio, right? NAIC.
It's usually in Ohio or Indianapolis. Yeah. This time it's in
New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's fun. Be a fun one for sure.
Yeah, people seemed really excited about it. It's going to be in Honolulu, Hawaii, August 16th through 18th. Because we know that they already booked the 2026 location, not to be confused with the 2025 location next year. We don't know where that is, but shout out to that poor soul who worked at the San Francisco venue to then say, yeah, we're hosting the Pokemon thing in 2026. That guy probably doesn't work there anymore. They clearly book these things 2+ years in advance. So yeah, that makes... whether or not you're happy or upset or excited or frustrated that it's going to Hawaii, I don't understand why they waited so long for these dates. Because I'm pretty sure last year for Japan, they announced the dates like around Pokemon Day or like shortly after. Like it was pretty early in the year.
Maybe it has to do with maybe they didn't have the dates fully firmed up with
there's no way that is
yeah no that
I don't know why they would
that's
wait
how that works.
I don't know why they would wait so long. The only thing I could think of is making it more in advance because a lot of the people that may be going when it was Japan would have to get to Japan, and maybe they're like, we're giving people, and then with Hawaii still not an easy trip, but maybe there's some difference there, something about international versus national for a lot of the people that are going to be there. Because I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, I would imagine, though, that most of the people going to the Worlds, are most of the people from North America or most of the people from Asia or Europe usually? Like, do we know the numbers on where people are typically
Americans
coming from?
Americans and Japan and Japanese have the most.
Right.
Presence.
Yeah, that's the word.
That's weird. I don't know. That's really short timeline now if people are going to be buying tickets and things to get to Honolulu.
That's also just like A side note, the reason they do pick Hawaii is because their two biggest audiences are America and Japan, and Hawaii is literally in between those two countries. So that's like, location-wise, it makes the most sense for...
It's a tourist destination for both of the countries.
Yeah. Japan, like I think Hawaii is one of Japan's top tourist locations. Like, Hawaii and Japan are very close when it comes to culture and stuff. Yeah, we'll see how this turns out. What I do want to talk about is the world's page is up, the graphics are up, and they did kill it with the graphics. I think the theme looks great. It's very colorful, Pikachu in a little swimsuit, little flippers. They got some Frillish, they got some Riolu, they got some Quaxly, they got some Gimme Ghoul. I like the way it looks. Little wishy-washy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you know me at all, Alola. I love Alola. I love everything around that. So anything that's themed like beach, Alola, or just Hawaii, like all of that theming, I love. So I think they did a really good job on that as well. Good job, Pokemon Company. You did great on the theming of this whole thing.
This is maybe a stretch. Do we think James Turner did this art before he left? It's in his style.
It is.
And I'm just realizing it is in his style. It is 100% in his style.
I mean, considering how far out they book these things, that's very possible.
Yeah. Because he was still... He did, like, even though he left before Scarlet and Violet came out, like, he's gone on record saying, like, he did some Pokemon, he did some graphics, he did all the sandwich stuff. Like, if when you go into one of the shops, which is opening up a menu, not actually going into the store, and you look at the background of that stuff, that's his artwork. He did the professors. He did design both professors. But I'm looking at, like, the Pikachu and the Gimme Ghoul and the Steenie, and it's all,
yeah,
like, everything here is, like, literally in his art style. And I don't know anyone else at Game Freak that does the not connected lines. I will say, like, he didn't invent that art style. There's other artists that don't connect their lines. It's not, like, exclusive to him. But anytime there's been non-connected lines, it's always been him. So unless, like, there's a new artist that was like, where I'm going to copy, which is possible. It's mm-hmm. definitely possible for an artist to be like, I want to pay homage, or I want to copy or take inspiration from his art style. But this looks like his art style.
Maybe. I will say, like, I'm now looking at, like, really close in at the details of this. And for one, the two Frillish with the little love disc right above them is really cute. Because it's like a little heart. It's like the way it's going down. It's like, you know, a little mm-hmm. heart right above the Frillish. But the Riolu snorkeling while taking a picture of Gimme Ghoul might be my favorite, like, part of this and anything that Pokemon has done this year.
I love how you can still recognize it's a Riolu, even though it's hidden behind the camera and the snorkel and the flippers on its feet. You can barely tell unless you know Riolu.
It's so good. Yeah, this is great artwork. Could be James Turner, I guess.
I think the colors definitely help as well. Those are definitely colors that we've seen James Turner like to work in, even in kind of personal artworks.
He loves pink and blue so much.
Yeah.
Great colors.
I think this is his art.
I can see it. I mean, I don't know all of the different differences between the Pokemon artists. I've only seen infographics on those a couple of times, and I definitely haven't memorized them. But even I can see some of the similarities here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll see going forward if they're going to announce events or what the Pokemon Center would look like or what the merch is going to be, all that stuff going forward. It's going to happen whether... I mean, it's happening regardless, right? Again, I know there's frustrations around Hawaii. I know there's people that are very excited about Hawaii. I know there's all that stuff. But we'll keep reporting on if you are going because you are a competitor or because you're traveling with a competitor or you just happen to be in Hawaii in August, we'll see what events are related to it and if it's going to be like the same impact of Japan. Because like when I talked about last year, there was so much
going on.
Right. Like there was just so much I missed because like there was just so much happening that it was very easy to miss stuff. I cannot imagine that there's going to be so much here, but there should be some stuff here.
Yeah.
It'll be a good way to tell whether them going so all out last year was primarily because it was Japan or because they're really continuing to try and ramp up what Worlds is. Because there has been a ramp up. It has become a bigger and more involved event over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they definitely have a lot to follow up on because 2 years ago in London, it was the first one back, right? So there was it was a pretty big deal. A lot of people were really excited about that. And then you have the next year was in Japan, which obviously they were going all out for. So yeah, to your point, is that going to stay? Are they going to stay with that coming into Hawaii and kind of keep that energy going and keep that that push, or you know, is it going to kind of cool back down a little bit? But I would love it if they kept it, ramped up. I think that would be great. I think that would be great if that's kind of what they're doing now. Although I guess if you're there, it might feel like you might miss out on things, and you're already there. But I don't know. I think it would be cool to keep the energy high, keep it where it's at, keep it ramped up.
There hasn't been any news of any lottery systems yet.
Right.
Not yet. Well, I'm sure there'll be a Pokemon Go event. I'm sure they'll probably also boost the amount of Comfey spawning for people to then get those to then come back and trade. But speaking of Pokemon Go, we have a little bit of Pokemon Go news. We actually have some Scarlet and Violet news this week. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about those two things. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard for a limited time that all Mint Mobile wireless plans are just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online that cuts the cost of the retail store and passes those sweet, sweet savings on to you. All these plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. I can confirm. I've done it. They sent me a SIM card. It worked great. Pokemon Go, Pikmin Bloom, Monster Hunter Now, although I haven't played that one, but it's a Niantic game, so I'm assuming it's going to work like Pokemon Go and Pikmin Bloom. They all work just fine. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring over your current phone number. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. That's mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. Cut your wireless bill down to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PKMNCAST. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. This podcast is brought to you by Bespoke Post. This spring, the best box you'll open up all month is from Bespoke Post and their new seasonal lineup of the must-have Box of Awesome collection. The Box of Awesome collection is filled carefully with chosen gear from the best brands around the world. They sent me a brand new headset, which I'm going to use because I have a flight coming up this weekend. Whether you want to eat more awesome, dress and travel more awesome, or explore more awesome, Box of Awesome has you covered this spring. It's free to join, and they release new items every month across a ton of different categories. And when you become a member, you'll have access to their discounts across a variety of products. We're talking like 30% or more sometimes. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up for boxofawesome.com and enter code PKMNCAST at checkout. That is boxofawesome.com, code PKMNCAST for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, code PKMNCAST. And we are back from our break. Pokemon.com published an article on April 3rd, how to catch shiny Pokemon in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. There's not anything particularly new here. This is not the first time they've published a shiny article. They did one for Sword and Shield that no one believed. And then that one ended up being correct. And then they did one for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee that also no one believed. And that ended up being correct as well. I want to stress that because people for both those games thought shiny hunting was broken, or at least in Let's Go, they thought, oh, I just knock out 30 and then get on my Charizard and then wait. And then why aren't I getting shiny Pokemon? Serebii was wrong on both of those games for 3+ years each. That's every site was wrong, to be fair, not particularly
other than Pokemon.com.
Other than Pokemon.com was the right site. We now know that Pokemon.com was right. And in Let's Go, in order to actually shiny hunt, you have to keep catching over and over. I believe the title of that article, if you're looking for it, is Keep That Catch Combo Going. That should, if you pop that into Google, that'll pop up. But still on Pokemon.com, still explains how to do it. And then the same thing with Sword and Shield, which was talking about Brilliant Pokemon. And, you know, 3 years later, after Serebii and everyone else said that Brilliant Pokemon didn't do anything, Brilliant Pokemon did have an extra shiny roll to them. And that would be permanently increased based on how many you either caught or knocked out, which was all on Pokemon.com that people just did not believe. They believed Serebii over that or Bulbapedia over that, and those sites were wrong. And then, you know, we wouldn't be talking about this without Anubis, who she tested these theories and proved that Pokemon.com was right on both of those games. And then I think since then, Serebii, Bulbapedia, everyone else is updated to right stuff. So the title of this is How to Catch Shiny Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet. The weird thing here is both the Let's Go article and the Sword and Shield article came out within a month of the games coming out. They came out super short.
Yeah,
and
much
this
quicker.
Has been well over a year, obviously, and now they published an article. It's just
it's a lot more direct in game.
That's true.
In Scarlet and Violet, there are actually things like sparkling power on screen that you can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. And it does seem that the twist here is, and I just didn't like set up the Let's Go to be like, and once again, Serebii is wrong. No, it seems like what is in this article is what everyone has been doing the entire time. Tells you how to get your shiny charm. And then it drops down to mass outbreaks. So it says the easiest way to find a shiny Pokemon in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is through mass outbreaks. It's when the same species appear in one location. As you battle and catch the Pokemon appearing, your chances of encountering a shiny Pokemon will increase. Three different messages will appear during the outbreak. The number of Pokemon is starting to go down. The number of Pokemon in an outbreak is definitely getting lower. And there are not many Pokemon left in the original outbreak. You have the highest chance of encountering a shiny when you receive the message that says there are not that many Pokemon left in the original outbreak. At this point, it is best to avoid catching or defeating and keep your eyes peeled for a shiny Pokemon if you're looking to find one. If you wander to a new location or set up a picnic and return to the mass outbreak, you may find a new group of the same species has appeared and that these new encounters don't cause the Pokemon to disappear from the mass outbreak. Easiest way to battle and defeat the mass outbreak is through auto battle. It's best to consider the terrain. For example, if it's over a body of water, you'll want a Pokemon that can swim and fly. For outbreaks on land, use Pokemon that move quickly, such as Gallade or Cerulege. That's true. Cerulege is very, very quick. Even if you're not lucky enough to find a shiny Pokemon, mass outbreaks are still a great way to collect Pokemon materials that can be made into TMs, exchange for League points, and used at the item printer in Blueberry Academy. Keep in mind, you can only hold 999 of a given type, and new mass outbreaks appear daily at midnight local time in Paldea, Kitakami, and Blueberry. And then they have an even more longer section of this that breaks down sparkling power And they talk about how you can get Urban Mystica through 5 and 6 star raids. Now, recently, 7 star raids, actually. It seems like the last 4 7 star raids have all dropped Urban Mystica. You can mix and match, although you need at least 2 Urban Mystica for sparkling power. I'm not going to go through all the sparkling power for that. That's a lot.
It lists all of them. Well, it lists 1 combination for each of the types.
Yeah. They also do say that you can go to Blueberry Academy, spend 150 Blueberry points for activating all sparkle power, all types. It's not as potent as a sandwich made in Picnic. It is a level 1 instead of a level 3, but increases your chance of finding a shiny Pokemon for all 18 types at once. A great meal if you were just walking around. And then at the very end, if you need to catch Pokemon, you can use the moves Spore and False Swipe.
They specifically say a Breloom that knows the moves Spore and False Swipe because they know that that's the Pokemon.
Were they listening to the podcast last week when I said I'm so sick of using Spore and False Swipe for every...
I will say I've done quite a bit. I mean, I've done some shiny hunting in Scarlet and Violet. I've yet to use any Urban Mystica to actually shiny hunt.
Really?
Because I'm a real shiny hunter. I don't want to have the increased chances. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't used any of the Urban Mystica because I do typically do the method of just, I get the mass outbreaks down to typically in between those 2 messages. But I think the best way to just solidify it is if you get it down to that third message, right? Mm-hmm. And then just set up a Picnic and restart. And honestly, I've been pretty, I guess maybe just been pretty lucky with how often the shiny does pop up fairly quickly when doing that. And then on top of that, they've had a few events where the shiny are boosted. The shiny rate is boosted and it's not even worth making a sandwich for those. Sometimes that has been my method so far. So I actually have some Urban Mystica all saved up because I just go into it without actually making a sandwich.
You're gonna be that guy, Bobby, that has like 40 Urban Mystica. The new game's gonna come out and you haven't used any.
That's what happened with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. I have whatever currency that just didn't move with that. It's all just sitting there and I have like nothing to use it on at this point. So
the one thing that they didn't mention in this article that is not surprising, I guess people maybe don't know this. Maybe if you're listening to a Pokemon podcast, you probably do know this, but when the outbreak is starting to go down, outbreak is definitely getting lower. Not many Pokemon from the original outbreak. Those are not like at set intervals. They're slightly randomized. So what Anubis said is that your shiny chance goes up at 30 and then it goes up again at 60. So you can get +2 to your chance, which is the same as a shiny charm. You know, if you don't have the shiny charm and you knock out 60, technically the shiny charm is now on for you. But if you do have the shiny charm, instead of being a +2, it'll be a +4. And then if you have the sparkling power, that's, I don't even know what that is, a +3 or something. Another +2, I can't remember. That all goes in effect of like increasing your chance for a shiny Pokemon. But if you actually count and you're looking for the message to pop up, like the outbreak is definitely starting to go down, I've had that appear at 25. I've had it appear at like 26. I've had it appear at 27. It doesn't always appear exactly at like 25 knockouts. So it is slightly randomized of when it appears. So from my understanding, it was never worth trusting those messages. Because like if you got like not many left from the original outbreak, you might be at 58. And like technically you have it.
I'm pretty sure that the not many left comes after 60, regardless.
The third message does. The third message does come after 60.
The outbreak is definitely getting lower.
But if you're like, waiting for the third message, I think you're good.
Yes.
But you will have more Pokemon in the outbreak left to potentially be shiny if you're counting.
Right. Yeah, because at a certain point, the outbreak feels like it gets thinner.
Mm-hmm. So 60 is between the last two messages. You're gonna get the first message before 60, but you're gonna get the last message after 60. So in this article, they're saying, you know, the last message solidifies that you've at least knocked out 60, but it's not saying that the message is at 60. So
well, maybe I do like that method better, because I hate counting.
I also hate paying attention and watching for the messages even more, because if I'm looking away in the very moment that the message comes up and I totally miss it, then counting is more reliable.
Right. So, but I'm counting, and then I then I get distracted with something, and then I'm like, ah, where did I leave off? Was it 20 or 22?
Well, the problem with counting, too, is that it has to be the Pokemon from the mass outbreak. So if you happen to be in a place where like that Pokemon also just spawns, that spawned Pokemon that isn't part of the mass outbreak won't count. So it's just, you know, the message is what solidifies it. The thing for me is that by the time you get to that third message, mass outbreak has thinned out like considerably more than when you're in between the two messages. And so then when you're resetting and only seeing four or five or six or whatever Pokemon versus like before the message, you might have 12 or 13 popping up. And so, but then you don't know when you've actually, if you're not counting, you don't know when you've actually hit that 60 mark. So you don't exactly know when you're over it or not.
Yeah, see, I had thought that the messages did come at a set time, like at a set number of Pokemon you had knocked out, and I thought that maybe there was 15 Pokemon after the second message or something like that is when you get to 60, that the messages can kind of help reset your counter because they do come at a set time, but if you're certain they don't, then maybe not.
Well, the outbreaks are not the same number. So when an outbreak spawns in, it's not like... Like a Wattrel outbreak isn't like 100 Pokemon, and then like a Wattrel outbreak could be 100 Pokemon, but then a Tinkaton outbreak could be 120 Pokemon. So like the actual outbreak itself is not like a set number of Pokemon every time. They have like a range where they can be in. So I think
the messages are probably a percentage.
A percentage of the range. Outbreak.
None of the outbreaks have that many Pokemon, though, for sure, right? There's no way there's like 60 Pokemon left once that third message pops up or whatever. Yeah, it's like 12 or 5 or 7 or something.
But what I was doing for when Milcery and Flabébé were up, I was only going to 30. I was like, I'm not going to read Twitch chat. No one distract me. I'm going to do exactly 30 because I know at 30 you get the plus one. And they were already boosted. Both of those Pokemon are already boosted. And I had Shiny Charm, and then I used Sparkling Power, but I used Sparkling Power with Humungo, so they were easier to see. And I felt like I got way more Shinies doing that. Mostly, I will say it felt like placebo, but part of it was I do feel like they thin out to the point where you're seeing less when you get up to like that 60.
Oh yeah.
And like when you first get there, it feels like there's so many. So I was like, well, if I'm only going to plus one and everything else is boosted, I'm still seeing so many versus adding another plus one, but then seeing like half the amount I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And that's, I would always that, position two that are next to each other. So I would like just bike between the two because they would refresh. And then it just felt like I was just seeing so many. And people were like, why aren't you going to 60? And I was like, look at how many there are. I'm at a plus one. Like, we're good. But again, maybe that was just placebo for me.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mathematically, that does make sense. I mean, you have to find that like balance where you have so many more, but with lower odds versus like how, because like I said, sometimes you get up to that 60 or you don't know, like you, unless you're like really counting and then don't miss any or anything, you know, sometimes all of a sudden you realize like, oh, well now there's only like six. And so I'm resetting and it's like there are six, you know, and it's
and then
like,
it's just
where's that?
So slow. And it's just going away from the outbreak and going back to the outbreak over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I think Legends had that as well, though, where like Legends had what were they called in Legends? Not the Hordes. Were they
wasn't
are,
a Legends Shiny Hunter.
were they also called outbreaks in Legends? But like some outbreaks felt like in Legends they would disappear way quicker than other outbreaks.
Yes.
I'm like, I only knocked out 16 and now it's like already over. Whereas like, I knocked out 25 and there's still a ton left.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were outbreaks because there were the massive mass outbreaks. Broke everything.
But the Legends was interesting because sometimes you would knock out it was called something though. The batch of them in the outbreak was called something because then it would say like a new... It wasn't a new outbreak. It was a new something has formed. And then you'd have like six more that would pop up once you've knocked out all of them. you get like a second stage of whatever it was called.
The real Pokemon fans remember the black and white outbreaks. That's the real thing.
It was.
I don't think the black and white ones did not have increased shiny odds, though.
No.
They definitely did not. They released a 7-star raid immediately after we started recording last week. Classic. They ended up going with Meganium, which makes sense that they would not do Primarina / Sceptile next, because you don't want, you have, when you're announcing something on April 1st, you got to look at who's the biggest joke in the Pokedex. Meganium. This makes sense.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, the Meganium made sense of because Cherry Blossoms. It was a Cherry Blossom week, and it's the big dinosaur with a giant pink flower around its
I guess that makes sense.
Sure. I'll go with that.
And it was April 1st. I can only take what I see online, whether that's YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Reddit, our Slack community, our Discord, etc. And it seems that when people don't want to grind out a raid, or when a YouTube video does better than past YouTube videos, to me, that those two signs, and those three signs, what people say, a YouTube video doing significantly better than past, and that people not want to grind it out, it seems that people were not having fun with Meganium.
I mean, your first video wasn't even approaching it. You guessed wrong.
I did. Yeah. Well, I was right about the screens, which
yeah.
I built teams that were to deal with the screens. But I did not think a grass psychic focused Pokemon would be dominant with a fighting type move.
Yep.
I think a lot of people would argue yep. that a body press Pokemon would have been maybe saved for a different gimmick.
And yet, this is what they did. You probably weren't the only one who guessed wrong. April 1st.
I liked this raid. Obviously, I went all in on like dark Pokemon, because the only fighting type move it would have gotten was body press, and boy, did they! This is like the fourth Pokemon that has done that, which is also kind of shocking, or maybe they decided to lean into this. But the first Pokemon that's not 100% true. There's like a 5-star Dragonite or a 6-star Dragonite, I can't remember, that will go to like max stats pretty quickly. But I think a lot of people's first experience with that was Mewtwo, where Mewtwo would bring its stats up mm-hmm. very quickly. And I have no problem with that. Like, I think that's fine. They already have like 8 moves, you know, whatever, right? My problem with that is there's no communication for that. So if you don't know to check with the Y button and go in, you would be like, why did this get so strong? Or why am I doing so little damage? I do think it's frustrating to a player to, like, it'll show like, oh, it used Bulk Up, or it used Amnesia, or it used Calm Mind, or whatever. And in a normal gameplay setting, you're like, okay, cool, it's like, it's used Calm Mind twice, it's a +2. Okay, I gotta, like, lunge twice or whatever, or Chilling Water, or Snarl. But if you don't check, it's like, oh, it's +6. That's... Mm.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, not what you expect.
You approach that so differently. If even in like a standard competitive match, if something's neutral versus something a +2, you just change your approach of like, oh, it's +2 now. Like, that's scary. I got to do something different. When you're going from 0 to +6, which doesn't happen in normal gameplay, you would change your approach. So you eventually, like, after you get like smoked by it, you're like, oh, I didn't. But even then, like, let's say you just get smoked by it, but you never thought to press the Y button. You're probably like, oh, maybe I brought the wrong Pokemon, or something went wrong, or like, I don't know what my teammates are doing, because like, this game is really bad at communicating. So again, I have no problem with it going to +6. I just think like the game should clearly communicate, because that's an important thing in a Pokemon situation mm-hmm. to like communicate. So again, when I went into Meganium and I was like, oh, cool, it used body press, or not body press, it used curse. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, We intimidated twice. It cursed. So it should be at -1 because now it's +1 for attack. And you're like trying to do your math on the spot. And then when you get one shot, you're like, hold on.
What happened?
Yeah. I calculated for this beforehand. That shouldn't have happened. So yeah, that's fine. Like, we saw that moveset made 5-6 new Pokemon, and they all work great. And that's cool. I think, like, I love the building part of the raids. And I think a lot of people like building part. You see a lot of people, even before they get into competitive, they spend weeks building a team and they love that. And then they get to the competitive part and they get smoked. And then they're like, I spent all this work. But I do genuinely enjoy the work of, like, thinking, theory crafting. I mean, like, this is not exclusive to Pokemon, right? You see so many, like, sports commentators or whatnot. Like, they speculate or, like, this is what could happen. This is what will happen. Like, it's just human nature to be like, how can we plan around a scenario that hasn't existed yet? It's fun. And then sometimes it doesn't work. But I do think there is, like, a level of balance of, like, same thing with Mewtwo. Is it too hard? Is it too easy? What is considered easy? What is considered hard? I think the biggest obstacle isn't actually the raid itself. It's always been the people standing next to you.
Yeah, that continues to be a thing.
Yeah, definitely. I will say, as someone who doesn't play competitive, the raids have been a nice way to build Pokemon, like, because I do like that, but I don't play competitive. So I'm not building teams for competitive play. And those raids brought out another reason to put a team together, or not put, like, put Pokemon together, build a Pokemon. And then, you know, a few months down the line, you realize, oh, now I have, like, all these Pokemon powered up. I have these strong Pokemon that before I would have just had all this, as I do, I would have just been hoarding all these items and not knowing what to really do with it because, like, story mode has been beaten and I don't have, and then all of a sudden you have all this stuff and you're like, I don't know really what to use it on or where to put it. But then this gives, like, some direction of, oh, I'll power this up this week. I'll power that up. I'll do that. And then 6 months down the line, you're like, oh, great. I have all these powerful Pokemon that I can, like, switch between or use in some way.
Especially in a game where it's so easy to build a Pokemon compared to previous Pokemon games, as I have been building Pokemon in X and Y and in Oras and in Alola. It's so much easier in Scarlet and Violet.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. The days of breeding 6 IV or doing the best to breed 6 IV Pokemon and, you know, breeding, like, all, you know, doing all the egg hatching and everything to get that one that's there. And now it's
those days are mostly gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you need zero IV in one particular stat.
Yeah, they've never given us that. They've never made that
easier.
They
did have the Ditto event. They had a Ditto event in Scarlet and Violet early on that had two particular Ditto with zero IVs in the stat you would want for different strategies. So they made that a little easier if you were playing right when that happened.
Right. Yeah. That was the only time. They only did it once, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was very early on, if I remember correctly.
It was pretty early on, too. Yeah. Yeah. That was before I understood raids, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I look at my boxes in Scarlet and Violet, and I think, wow, I have over 60 level 100 fully built Pokemon specifically just for raids. And it's really cool. Like, I can go back to X and Y, and just nothing is level 100. Nothing is EV trained. The things that are EV trained are EV trained because I went through the story, and so the EVs are, like, all over the place.
They're not really EV trained. They're just EV maxed.
Yeah, they just have EVs. So it's really cool to have all of these level 100, all of these EV trained, all of these bottle capped Pokemon that, like, served a purpose. And it is also cool to see people get excited that they can use different Pokemon, right? There for sure is players that they built, like, three things. They got, like, a Maridon, an Iron Hands, and Annihilate. And which one of these three will work for the 7-star raid boss? Because I don't want to build another. But then there are people who play the game every day or a couple times a week or have been playing. And when a raid comes out, it's like, cool, what can I make this week? Mm-hmm. Like, what? I have all these resources. Oh, I get to use a Skeledirge for the first time, or oh, I get to use a Clefable for the first time. Like, that's so cool. I haven't used that yet. And then you really learn more about a specific Pokemon, right? I have never really looked at Clefable's moveset. I don't know what it can learn or what it can't learn, or what its stat distribution is. So I still love 7-star raids. I still think they're so fun to prep for and to actually do, and to they're just the playing with other people for me is just scratches a specific itch that other games were scratching before I stopped playing those other games. Looking at you, Final Fantasy 14. But the 7-star raids get so held back from just the performance of Scarlet and Violet. Like, they're still super laggy. There was two Meganium raids where I joined. We just sat there looking at Meganium as the music played. There was no timer. There was no HP bar. We're just like, do we wait this out? Do we force quit? What's happening?
Did you wait it out?
Well, I waited the whole timer 6-7 minutes and nothing happened. It just, the timer didn't even appear. It just, there was no.
Right.
Yeah. I was
wouldn't have given it that much time. 6 or 7 minutes of just
you're just sitting there chit-chatting with people. Maybe
that's true.
Maybe it'll start. Maybe it won't. Who knows?
Yeah. The lack of stability in the raids and the lack of kind of guidelines that means people are still bringing in Pokemon that aren't level 100 really hold the raids back.
You know, if again, we say this all the time, but if you were playing with randoms and you see somebody lock in a 75 Lucario, you would probably be like, I'm gonna sit this raid out. Good luck.
But you can't even see that. You can't see the level until you enter the raid.
And at that point, it's just, we lost. There's nothing we can do to win.
Yeah.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about, I mean, that kind of makes me think of Go a little bit. And, you know, when you go do a raid and you get to the, raid and you hop in and then you see a bunch of people who are like level, I mean, this doesn't happen as much anymore, but you see a bunch of people who are like level 20 or something, or you see, you're in there with like three people and it's a Lugia or something and everyone's level 20 and you're level 40 and you're like, okay, this isn't going to work. Like, this just, it's like, I would love to raid with you, but this, we're not going to win.
But you can see the levels there before the raid starts and you can hop out before your passes.
That's what I'm saying. So then what ends up, this is what I was going to get into. So then what happens is you jump out and then the people that want to raid, but that don't understand like, oh, that's not going to win. But they're like, oh, well, this person like just jumped out. Is it because we're lower level? Is it whatever? I feel like that doesn't happen in Scarlet and Violet because no one knows that before you go into the raid. So even though you at the bringing in the right Pokemon are aware of what's going to happen, the people that bring in the lower level probably are not.
Yeah, because they probably also don't understand how the timer works and that their Pokemon fainting is the reason you lose.
But they will understand if they can ever battle with anyone and if they're just like abandoned every time. I don't know what's worse. I don't know if going in and losing but at least playing with other people and joining into something is worse, or if like you can't get a raid because you're too low level and everyone would be able to see that and then would leave before you'd actually be able to go do a raid in the first place.
I think that making everyone lose raids over and over again is worse.
I just mean for the person who has the lower level Pokemon.
Yeah, then they will learn and they will use experience candy and they'll go in with a better Pokemon.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
I don't know, because it's a good question. And when I'm on Twitch, obviously I'm trying to help as many people get through as possible. And there are people that come through and they're like, this is my first 7-star raid I've ever completed. Like, thank you so much. Right. And we had a person that came in and they were like, all I have is a Maridon. And I was like, okay, cool. I was like, is that at least one level 100? And they were like, yeah, we were able to like get the Maridon through just fine. Right.
Okay.
Like they didn't have. It was like literally like Thunder, Parabolic Charge, Electro Drift, and like Thunderbolt, right? It was like four electric type moves. None of these are super effective against Meganium, but nor do you need four electric type attacks. It like flashbacks to how I was like 10 years old battling the Elite Four with Blastoise.
Yeah, going through a water type Elite Four person, then that'll be fine.
Yeah. Like, you have this water type gym leader on lock with this Maridon. Yep. He won't get past you. But there was like basic communication, right? And this was like the same thing in like Destiny or something where somebody's like, oh, I've never done this before. And it's like, okay, you're just going to stand right here. You're going to watch this door. That's all you got to do. We'll handle everything else. Here's your one task. Just do this. And so like that works because like you can just talk to that person and be like, what's up? And then I did another raid and like a level 100 Smeargle joined in. I have like the damage calculator already up for Meganium, right? I have Meganium up. I have like +6 attack, +6 defense, body press, seed bomb, whatever it was. And so I quickly like just changed the Pokemon to Smeargle and it's like body press, 270 damage to like 300 damage. I'm like, hey, Smeargle, you're obviously here. Like, you're somewhere in chat. There's 300 people. You're one of them because you're looking at my screen to join this raid. Can you, like, tell me what your Smeargle is, like, supposed to do? Like, because Smeargle could, like, roleplay, right? They could roleplay. Skeledirge is unaware.
Smeargle can do a lot of things.
They can do a lot of things, right? I think they can, like, I think there's a move to like copy the other person's typing, so it could like copy the Skeledirge to become like Fire Ghost. Like, there's a lot of things that Smeargle could do. I was like, "Cool, Smeargle. Like, what are you doing?" Nothing. I was like, 3 minute timer here before the raid starts. Smeargle, I would like to like help you do this raid. What is your moveset? Nothing. And then like I was like, I can't. There's other people that need help. Like, am I going to start this raid and like hope you know what you're doing when you won't even like type in chat what your moveset is? Just tell me what you're trying to do and I can adjust or help you or like pick a different Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
And there's no communication there. So like, I'm sorry, Smeargle, if you're listening. I couldn't help you because I just need you to say something.
Communication is important.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme of the podcast. Communication is important.
There's 5 new builds for Meganium up on YouTube and wherever I put the graphics. The first day for Meganium, we were completing it in like 8 or 9 minutes, which isn't ideal because the raids only last 10 minutes before they fail. The second builds, we were getting it done in like 3 minutes. They're super quick, super efficient. Oh.
The first builds were wrong though, right? Or the first builds were like not as effective towards it as you thought they were going to be?
The first builds were the pivot of like, okay, let's build something else. And then when stream and I didn't have like 300 people asking me what they should build, yeah, I like tweaked the numbers a little bit and then put out the YouTube video with like the updated.
That makes sense. I mean, those builds were still winning though. So
yeah, they were still like, even the first builds, there were people that were like, oh, your Incineroar build worked great. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, cool.
If it works, it works.
If it worked for you. There are so many people that like only do it one time, right? Only do it once. They'll come in, they'll be like, oh man, that was so easy, and then like they never do it again. And I always just think of like, who in the raid actually carried you for you to come in to be like, it was easy? Like, what is your definition of easy? I don't know. I think that's it for Scarlet and Violet. That's all we had. Yeah, how to catch shiny Pokemon Meganium. Bug out! Friday, April 12th through Wednesday, April 17th, twice the XP for catching Pokemon with nice throws or better. Increase candy for nice throws. Increase candy XL for nice throws. Increased chance to find shiny Combee and shiny Burmy. Caterpie, Weedle, Shuckle, Wurmple, Cricketot, Combee, Swaddle, Swaddle, Dwebble. Will be in the wild. If you are lucky, Nincada or Nincada, I can't remember which one, and Cutiefly will be in the wild. All of those can be shiny except for Swaddle, which will probably be a community day sometime this year since Gen 5. Tours, Unova Tour is what it will probably be called, will eventually come.
Yeah.
1-star raids will be Pineco, Shuckle, Nincada, Skorupi. 3-star raids, Beaver, Pinsir, and Cleaver. All can be shiny. 5-star raids, Tapu Bulu, Mega Charizard will make its will return, and Mega Heracross will make its debut.
Hold on.
Yeah, I was waiting.
What did I say?
Beaver?
You said Beaver instead of Beedrill.
I did?
It's like, yeah. Beaver? Is it B-Barrel are you talking about? What are you talking
Something
about?
Something like that. Nope, it's B-Drill.
Beaver is my favorite Pokemon. I did?
You absolutely did, because I was like, what is Beaver?
I went to a concert last night. I'm very tired.
The Beedrill Cleaver mashup Pokemon we did not know we needed.
It was a collection challenge. There's new avatar items, which...
They're nice avatar items.
Is this the first time they've done new earrings?
They've done a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know Hoopa there had some. Earrings, right?
That would make
I
sense.
I think so. I don't...
You know, a lot of things make sense, but Niantic kind of drops the ball regardless.
Let's see. I think
where
yeah,
even
I think
are they? Are they in hats?
They're in hats. Are they?
Yeah, there are Meltan earrings. There are pearl earrings, like the ones your buddy finds for you. And I think that's it.
There's Meltan earrings?
There are. Yep.
Are they cool?
I mean, they look like Meltan.
Hmm.
Like it's. Head oh, yeah. and eye.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I guess that makes sense.
I think that's it. It looks like that's all the earrings up till this point when we are getting all of the Burmy earrings.
Is it me or looking at this graphic, the Combi backpack and the earrings look really good?
They look like art. They don't look like the actual model in game.
Yeah.
They look like they're drawn on there.
But I guess the reason I point that out is that what they're supposed to look like with the new character graphical update?
Wait, let me see. Because I have the new character update.
But the new character update looks terrible.
You don't even have it yet.
I've seen pictures.
Depends you don't even have it yet.
Is it, yeah, do you have it? Is it bad?
No, I also don't have it yet. I'm waiting to have a judgment on it until I actually have the character update.
I was waiting to have a judgment on it too, and then I saw Zoe post the side-by-side of her character before and after, and I was instantly like unsold. I was like, I'm judging right now. We're judging today.
As someone who has it, this is what I'll say. I have put a hat on and a mask on. And I've never worn a hat or a mask in the game before. So I was like, my character just looks better in this. Like, I just found I found stuff that made the thing look better. I think overall, it's the whole idea of it, the concept of it, all of that is very cool. I like it. I think there are some things they could maybe tweak a little bit, some things they could work out a little bit. And I do think they do need to add, there's still a little bit more they should actually add to it. Not all of it is... Some parts are more customizable than other parts, and I think there could be something to maybe having a little more customization on maybe more of the options, like the facial features and hair. But it's the concept of it is very good. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the Zoe's side-by-side right now, and that's not even the same outfit. The items aren't the same items on her character. That's going to make the character look worse.
I was just mostly looking at, like, the face doesn't look great.
I don't know. Like Bobby said, a mask might help. I always have a mask on my character anyways, so I'm probably going to be fine with it.
It's just like, when you see the Pokemon Go trainer, you know that it's Pokemon Go, right? Because you're just so used to looking at it.
Because it's been the same thing for 8 years. Totally. Yeah.
Totally. And now that they're changing it, which is fine, like, very happy that they're changing it, adding more sizes, models, heights, all skin color, although I heard that there should be more skin tone adjustments.
Yeah.
You would just think that, like, it would be better. And it doesn't seem
I don't think it looks worse. I just think it looks different. It just looks like a different game. I could imagine seeing this model in a different game and not being surprised that that exists and not thinking it looks horrible.
I think that they, on the body style, they definitely have there's like 5 or 6 different options. And then there is like a customize option. And then in there are sliders where you can change different things of it. And then you can kind of do your own customization And obviously, I know that that is a lot harder on other things like facial stuff, but I feel like they're, if they could add something like that, it would be a huge improvement. I know they do that in other games. This is not like, you know, and I get this is like Niantic's first time doing going and doing something like this in Pokemon Go, but I do think there would be benefits to, I think it's a good start, but I do think that would be good to have a little bit more customization. Not saying that they're going to, they probably like put it out like this and they're like, this is it. But also not everyone has it. So clearly they're like looking at smaller groups have it. And I'm sure they're like looking at feedback from those smaller groups and just hearing what people have to say about it. And maybe there'll be some differences, because even with like the encounter backgrounds, just to another thing that has a small test group having it right now, a smaller group, the encounter backgrounds have been changing. I've had them for quite a bit and they have definitely changed, and they've made tweaks and improvements to the encounter screens over the last 2 months. So, I mean, they could still be making a few different changes and things to this, but I think the concept is great. I think there could be a few adjustments they could make, but that's what I'm
going to do. Are the clothes, like all your clothes come back, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like, oh, then you've updated your character and now you can't have this meltdown jacket.
No, you can't access the clothes you bought.
You can definitely access the clothes you bought. Do you think I believe when they change it, it changes your so the clothes that I've saved, like the outfits that I've saved, are no longer saved, but I can go back and pick them again. If I've purchased them or if they were free,
do the
I
clothes
can go back and
different?
Pick all that stuff again. But it does seem like they took the saved stuff out. You do have to resave outfits.
So my question is, are the clothes different or lay different or feel different in the sense of if I put on the baggy jeans with the chain wallet and then the hiking boots, are they going to like clip through each other like they always do?
Or like no matter what body style you choose and stuff?
Yeah. Or do they like do the clothes actually like lay properly, I guess, is the question.
I mean, I'm just going through the different like bodies. I'm just clicking through the different body styles on what I have on.
No, I would just be clicking like I would
put on
like
baggy jeans and then click through the shoes and see if they clip.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Cause I think that was my biggest problem with the current models and I gave Niantic this feedback directly, because there was like at one point Niantic like pulled a bunch of people together and was like, what would you like to see in clothing? And that was like a decade ago. That's not true. The game's not hasn't been out for a decade. That was a long time ago. But one of my feedback, besides like you should have different sizes and different heights and different weights and like different skin colors, and I should be able to wear any clothes I want. But one of the biggest gripes I had is like it sucks buying a pair of pants for like $3 and then it not working with your like favorite pair of shoes that you bought for like $2. Like that just feels terrible. Like, I actively want to give you money, Niantic, because I want my character to look a certain way, and I just gave you $5, and the thing I bought, like, doesn't actually look good at all.
Well, I can tell you this, just from a quick going through this. So, I'm wearing, like, I just put on, like, a pair of the pants and then shoes, like, that are, I don't even know what kinds of shoes these are, but they're clipping through the pants, and as I change the body style, they're still clipping, but, like, it's less and more. Depending on which body style I'm using. So it is changing how it's actually acting based on like body style. That is changing, but it's still like it still doesn't look good because it's still clipping through. It doesn't ever go away. But there are certain body styles where like there's more clipping happening, and then there are certain where there's less happening. No, they didn't.
Okay, got it. So the answer is no.
Clipping still happens.
Perfect.
Using still, yeah.
We got to the bottom of that case.
Again, small groups seem to have this. Not everyone has it. So I don't know. I think there still could be potentially some adjustments made. But we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, Mega Heracross will be making its debut this weekend. Not to be confused with Beaver.
Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Mega Beaver.
Correct. Mega Beaver, not in the game yet.
No, it is. If it's Beedrill, it is. It's been in the game the whole time Megas have existed.
Hey, albeit the Orlando Regional Tournament this weekend. I'll be there Friday and Sunday. Saturday, I'm going to Disney.
All right.
If we have, if you are going to Orlando Regionals on Friday or Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you see me, feel free to stop me and say hi. And if you're in the Slack or the Discord, I'll probably post. Maybe we'll do like a meetup, like I said, at the free part of Disney Springs, I think it's called, on like Saturday or something. But I'll be in the area, and then there should be a Heracross Raid Hour, I believe, on Saturday, right?
There's it's 3 hours from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock local is the raid day. So, and you can buy, well, there's like an event ticket, obviously, if you want to. I think it's $5 mm-hmm. for that ticket, or at least $5 USD. And then looks like you'll get some, just like any other raid day, you'll get just for free, you'll get up to 5 additional raid passes for spinning discs, photo discs. And then you'll have an increased chance at encountering shiny Heracross. So
isn't that is what I'm like looking forward to.
So yeah, you're usually about 1 in 10. So I don't have one from, when was it, was at GoFest last year?
Yeah.
Where they had, was they had Heracross spawning. I did not get a shiny one then. So, but yeah, otherwise just a regular raid day. Are either of you excited for this one? Do you want to raid Heracross or?
Yeah, I like Heracross.
It's a new mega, so I'm definitely going to be at least getting that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We don't know how much energy it's going to cost, or has that put, sometimes they put that in the game early. Like
it's probably been data mined.
Sometimes like
it is in the game. It's 200 mega energy. Yeah,
200. That's not bad.
Yeah. So you probably have to do three raids to get it.
Yeah.
If you have a good team.
Otherwise,
yeah, right. You aren't going solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heracross has been in raids before. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually a 3-star raid.
Yeah, because it was the, past, mm-hmm. so. The Johto Tour. It was in raids, I think, for everyone.
Right, right. Yeah. Couldn't have them just spawn. The Johto Tour had to put them in raids.
Had to put them in raids, yeah.
Corsola.
Look, Niantic needs their bills paid. They don't make enough money as it is. We will be back next week, although I will have to record the episode a little bit early, so I have to figure that out. But if the episode comes out on Sunday and next Monday, and you're like, why didn't we talk about this? It's because I probably recorded it before I left for Florida. although I don't expect anything exciting to happen at regionals, and we already know Meganium is coming back this weekend if you haven't done it. Blissey will also return with Meganium. So if you're one of those players that are like, I want to do more 7 or 6-star raids and I don't have a lot of level 100 Pokemon or I don't have a lot of resources, Blissey is a great way to get that, to get those resources. Literally, if you did like an hour of Blissey, you could probably make like 10 level 100 Pokemon like instantly.
Yeah. Now that we have the item printer, it's not as useful, but the Blisseys are still very good raids to do.
Yeah, 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 totally.
They're fairly quick, which is nice. So you know, it's nice to go in there and just do some quick Blissey raids and pick up a bunch of good items.
Yeah, Blissey's super, super quick. Thanks for making it to the end. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Bobby. We will see you guys next week. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super not going to green grass this week. I'm going to Topolo. What about you?
Ooh, I think I'll do the same.
Might go to the beach. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers, starting with Stephen, Kay, Tone, Stuart, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Josh, Jessica, Fumes, Courtney, Brian, Brady, And a huge shout out to our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like your name read at the end of the episode, or you just want to support, or you just want to support our podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/pkmncast to support the show and to join our Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.